Turn your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm
on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And on today's show, we're going to be hearing from Mayor Don Scott as he talks about a complete flood mitigation plan to help protect the lower town site, waterways, and Draper. But before we get into that, joining me over the phone right now is Jason King, who is the executive director of Some Other Solutions. First off, Jason, I really appreciate you taking a couple minutes, and it's no secret that Fort McMurray is dealing with multiple crises at the same time. We're dealing with the pandemic, a downturn in the economy, low oil prices, and of course, the flood. And mental health has been, you know, a big talking point, and that's where your organization comes in, where you have your crisis line for people who are experiencing mental health issues. They can call in and receive some support. You have counseling services. So I'm curious, with everything that's going on in the world right now in this community, how have you guys been handling it? Have you guys been seeing a big increase in clientele?
Yeah, you know, when the pandemic first happened with COVID, I guess everyone's initial response was, okay, how am I going to survive this? People were losing their jobs. So I think they sort of went into the fight mode where, okay, it's survival. Where are we going to get our household income? And so that's where their focus was. And the calls weren't coming in as much in the very onset. But then a couple of weeks in, once people were able to figure things out into their homes and take that time to sit back and settle in, we could tell that some anxieties were starting to creep up. And that's when we noticed phone calls were going up. People were availing more of our services. We've actually seen numbers double since the COVID breakout, and then because of the flood as well.
So is it safe to say that the majority of your calls have been related to flood and COVID? I know you can't get into specifics, but is it safe to say those are kind of maybe some of the driving points?
Yeah, I think like underlining they're the driving points, and it's creating other stressors. You know, we still have our regular calls, but again, those calls are based off the premise of COVID-19 and the stress coming from the flood. And we're seeing stresses like household finances, relational issues, and unfortunately we're still seeing calls come in related to a suicide and things like that.
I'm curious how your organization is handling this this big increase in clientele.
You know, we have a great staff. I have a great team that's here. This past year, as an agency, we decided that we were going to make some investments and enhance our services, and therefore we were able to bring in a registered therapist and a counselor. We have social workers on staff. So because of the expertise they have, we're finding that the way that we're coping is really well. Now we have, again, like I said, doubled the amount of calls coming in and counseling sessions, but they're handling it well. And with the team, we're able to leverage each other's strengths.
I think one thing that's really lost on organizations such as yourself is we're so thankful that you're able to, you know, provide your service to help those in need. But especially right now, this can be a very stressful time for everyone, including those who work for SOS and are providing these services. What is the organization doing to making sure that they have their mental health supports in need as well?
The majority of the team is working remotely, and with that itself, I know it can, for some, it helps them when it comes to dealing with stress. For others, I know, like myself, I enjoy getting up and coming into the office every day. That helps me create some normality in life, and that's where we're, you know, as we're encouraging people who are reaching out to us to try to create a routine and normality. We're doing that with ourselves as well as a team. It's waking up in the morning and it's ensuring that you get ready and feel like you're going to work. And if you need a break throughout the day, we're encouraging the team to take that break and find different ways. If it's a nature walk, if it's a bike ride, I know a lot of the team members are starting to embrace the outside activities to help with their coping as well.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Jason King, Executive Director of Some Other Solutions.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Hey.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Jason King, Executive Director of Some Other Solutions. And before the break, we are talking about some of their programs and services seeing double in the amount of calls, mostly due to the pandemic and the flood.
All right, well, let's change topics a little bit to funding. And we've had a couple talks over the last couple days about the need for funding for your organization. And I know that the province actually reached out to you yesterday. What were those talks like? Is the organization potentially going to be seeing any provincial grants coming in?
You know, as of yesterday, I had a positive conversation with the province. What the outcome of that would be, I'm not quite sure at this point. I know we have been denied a few applications so far, and even prior to COVID-19, we've lost a couple of contracts with the government because of their restructuring and funding and less money being available for our region and things like that. But yeah, it's yet to be seen, and I know we right now had grants declined. Hopefully the trend of the decline changes around and we start hearing some yeses.
Mm-hmm. Well, the talks that you had yesterday for potential funding, has there been a dollar amount that's been circulated?
We're looking at, we definitely need about $150 to help offset the loss, and then also offset the extra expenditures taken up on us as an agency to respond to COVID-19 and respond to the floods within the community. So we're hoping to see a yes on that request. There's been some mixed reviews or messages coming out from the funders at this point, where because they have so many different avenues of funding available, they may have declined us underneath one funding model, and then they're saying, hey, we moved your application over underneath another funding model, and we just keep our fingers crossed that under the new funding model that they're trying to get us some money, that they'll actually say yes to us to streamline those funds our way.
Have they given you a timeline on when you can expect an answer?
I'm hoping to have an answer by today. I know they even said it could have possibly been yesterday, but I really hope that we go into this weekend after receiving some good news, knowing that when we come back Monday, we're well-equipped to keep moving forward in what we're doing because of the services. We're offering some pro bono services, and we as an agency are even doing things because we know it's the right thing to do in the community at this time, and that's offering the pro bono counseling, but we definitely need to have some income to offset the expenses because, you know, in order to do counseling, we need staff, we need counselors, and we need to pay them in order to be here for us.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that if you get approved here, this will be around $150,000. You mentioned that there have been some grants that you've been denied. What's the dollar amount for those?
When we look at money that we've been denied, money that we've lost this year, and then also because we can't go about some of our regular activities, which is one, unfortunately, will be our summer camp, and we are to release a statement on that as well on our social media that we won't be able to do our summer camp this year. We're looking at up in the $250,000 range that we're going to be a loss for this year.
Oh, that's so unfortunate to hear. And I have to ask, losing that much money, what does that mean for the organization? Have you had to cut back on some of your programs and services? Have you unfortunately had to lay off any individuals?
We did cut back on some, and as I like just said, it's our summer camp is one program that's not going to be able to go forward, and that's a program that we highly relied on to help offset some of the expenses in our budget. So we have to try to find that money elsewhere, and then we had to lay off a couple of individuals just to ensure that we can keep moving forward with the services at the level which we can carry them forward at this point.
All right. Well, Jason, before I let you go, we're just curious, as we know that your building is downtown. Was it impacted by the flood?
Our office itself wasn't impacted, but the building that we're located in was impacted. And because of that, we were displaced for a couple of weeks. Didn't have any electricity here. There's a lot of activity and construction going on around here, and especially in the office below us. So, the building was impacted, but thankfully we ourselves weren't impacted as an agency.
All right. Well, Jason, that's pretty much all the questions I have. But is there anything else you'd like to add? Maybe we didn't have a chance to chat about.
Yeah, you know, we're here, we're still in the community, we're thriving. We do have some great things that we're doing as an agency, and know that we're going to be here for the years to come. And I just encourage people that you don't need to battle alone. If you're struggling, you don't need to struggle in silence. We're here, we're ready, willing, able to help. Reach out on our Facebook. You can go to our website and sign up for counseling. And then also we have the 24-hour crisis line at 780-743-4357. Someone always there 24 hours a day, ready, willing, and able to listen and give you the referral and the assistance that's needed.
All right, before you go, just one more time for those who may have, you did it a little too fast for them, the crisis line, what is the number again?
Sure, it's 780-743-4357. That's 780-743-HELP.
All right, well, Jason, thank you so much for taking a couple minutes. I really appreciate it. Best of luck with the organization moving forward, and hopefully you do get that approval from the government for that $150,000.
Well, thank you very much for your time today.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to be hearing from Mayor Don Scott as he talks about a complete flood mitigation plan for the Lower Townsite, Waterways, and Draper.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And joining me over the phone right now is Mayor Don Scott. Well, Don, we have a few things I was hoping to cover, and like you mentioned, we had a council meeting, and you brought a motion previously, and it was discussed at yesterday's meeting, to have administration bring back an accelerated complete flood mitigation plan within the next 30 days. Now, I know that having a flood mitigation plan has been on the talks in this municipality for decades, but what are you hoping this plan will be different from maybe other ones that have been developed?
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize the background of the region. So just by way of background, there's been 15 major floods in the last 145 years. That's going to take people by surprise. There's been 145 years to get something in place that would completely protect the downtown, but it has not happened. Obviously, with what we saw this year. Now, this year was an exceptionally large flood. There's no doubt about it. So there's been about $150 million spent on flood mitigation. It's been going on since as long as Councilor Meyer described it as going on since the 1997 flood, that there's efforts been made. The huge push has been, I would say, going on since the previous two councils. There's been a lot of money spent. There's still about another $78 million to go, and there's a lot of steps that have to be taken. Sometimes there has to be expropriations, sometimes there has to be other things done, but the work is pretty much planned. But what we need is A, to get the money from the federal and provincial government, and which we've asked for, and B, we need an accelerated plan. What I'm hoping for, and what I said last night, is I want to see a plan that gets this job done by the end of next summer. Now, that might be too ambitious. We'll see what the folks who are the technical experts come back with. But I would like to see an accelerated plan so that this work is done and our downtown is protected and you know, the key areas of this region that are so important to this region are protected by the end of next summer. We'll see if that's what administration comes back with, but you know, it's going to hopefully be an ambitious and a plan that really pushes things. Mm-hmm.
So just to clarify, this plan that you're hoping administration will bring forward will be, you know, the end of all plans, where you mentioned that especially over the last couple of councils, they've been having different projects to protect, you know, the lower town site, waterways, Draper, but this plan should cover everything and should only have to do any, you know, potential tweaks in the future?
Well, that's what I'm hoping for. Now, there's some areas that may not be able to be protected because of their location, just because of the geography, unless there is a huge amount of money spent. But I just want to, let's get that all out on the table. You know, this should have been done long, long ago. You know, after the 1997 flood, Councilor Meyer described that there was a huge effort talking about flood mitigation. And then as time goes on, it was discussed last night, as time goes on, people forget about the severity of these things, and then life goes back to business as normal and the effort kind of disappears. What I said to everybody last night is one of the legacies of this council has got to be to finish this project and get it done. I don't want a future council, I don't want future residents and future businesses to revisit the same issue, you know, and try to figure out why they're downtown flooded. We need to get this done. So I'm very keen to see it move forward.
Mm-hmm. A motion that was deferred was from Councillor Jeff Peddle, as he was kind of hoping to see non-shovel-ready projects and non-flood mitigation projects deferred. Now, I don't want to talk too much about that, but I know the intent of his motion was to make sure that flood mitigation is top priority. Is that the same for you moving forward?
It is. It's absolutely the top priority. You know, and it should be the top priority for the provincial government as well. That's why we asked them to help fund it, because they just came in and had to spend $100 million making sure that our residents are looked after with DRP funding. So it's absolutely a critical priority. Now, there's other things that need to be done. We need to make sure that we're giving our key services. We need to make sure that we're doing all the other things that we do in the region. But what's the big project that this council needs to get done? It's not building a giant building, as has been done in the past. You know, it's getting this downtown protected. So that's going to be the absolutely critical job. And I agree with Councillor. And Councillor Peddle, by the way, he lived it. In case anyone out there didn't realize it, his house was completely flooded. He lived right downtown beside the, right down on Hill Drive.
You mentioned that the province has provided some funds. I believe Matthew Huff, the Deputy Chief Administrative Officer, mentioned yesterday that the RMWB has received around $16 million. However, the RMWB is looking at around $78 million to either come from the province, federal government, or both. When you see such a big, I guess, separation between those two numbers, is it a little disappointing that maybe flood mitigation or isn't, you know, a big concern for them as well?
Well, I think it will be after this event, that's for certain. But, first of all, the federal government needs to have a bigger investment in this region, period. If you look around this region and look at what the federal government has done for the region, you don't see a lot of investment, and that's a huge issue. So I have a major problem with that. But I got to say, I've had very positive conversations with Bill Blair. He's the Minister of Public Safety. He's with the federal government, and he's the one who would ultimately, I believe, sign the check if we were to get the assistance for flood mitigation. And he was very positive when I have had discussions with him. We're pushing every angle we can to make sure that this is funded. And the Prime Minister is also, you know, he called me right after the flood happened here, and he knows what's happening in the region. So I would expect that we would have strong federal support this time. The province, I have no doubt that we're going to get strong support for flood mitigation. The premier flew up here the day after the flood, saw it for himself. We've had Minister Nixon, Minister Madu. We've been on the phone with them. Deputy Mayor Allen and I have been working the phones almost nonstop since the flood to make sure that we get the money we need to make sure that not only did we get the DRP funding, which was crucial to helping people, but we need to make sure that our downtown is protected. So we've spent $150 million so far, and the number that Matthew described last night has been the contribution so far. I actually think it's a little bit less than that, but we'll see when the actual numbers come up in 30 days. he said 16. I think it's a lot less, but anyway, it's certainly nowhere near what we've spent, and we still need to spend a lot more. So it's a real opportunity for the feds and the province to contribute.
Well, Don, before we take our first break, just one last topic and discussion with this flood mitigation plan, and also as part of your motion is having administration look into possible solutions to ensure a situation that caused the boil water advisory just doesn't happen ever again. Just talk about that. Do you think this is a possibility? And maybe for those who don't know, can you kind of explain maybe just what happened?
Yeah, the way it's been described to me by the engineers is that floodwater essentially got into the system, and that caused turbidity, which is, the problem that AHS has. So although Board of Health Services, once they do an examination, they know that there's turbidity, there's silt in the system that came from the floodwater. Then we've got to clean the entire system and disinfect the entire system, which is 375 kilometers. The original projection was quite lengthy. That's been shortened down considerably with a lot of residents getting the boil water advisory lifted within the next 3 to 5 weeks. But what I've said is there's got to be an engineering solution for that. If we're engineering our flood mitigation to make sure that we're protected from a 100-year flood, then let's make sure that we are also protecting our structural water system, which is absolutely crucial. It's one of the key services we provide, to do the same thing. Let's make sure that there's an engineered solution to this. So I'm told that there's some optimism that they can do that. It's obviously, once again, it's something that there's been a lot of opportunity to get the stuff done in the past, but let's get it done right this time. You know, this is the council that's getting the basics done. There's been 145 years of floods in this region and, you know, different issues caused by these floods. But we need to stop this once and for all as much as we are able. You never completely mitigate the risk, but we can do a lot better than what we've done in the last 145 years, that's for sure. If we have 15 floods in 145 years, that's a big signal right there that there's a serious problem. And, it shouldn't take 145 years to solve a problem.
Once again, that was Mayor Don Scott talking about a complete accelerated flood mitigation plan. If you're looking for more information, make sure you head to the Mix News page. Now, that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode?
Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.